Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour. Driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And it was this month, 25 years ago, Arizona recorded its hottest day ever, 128 degrees in Lake Havasu City, which is a featured town of our Arizona staycation this month here at Rosie on the House. Hopefully our winners won't experience that this month, but they will get to experience a great time at the Nautical Inn Resort right on the waterfront of Lake Havasu. Havasu means blue-green water. And Bob Hirsch's May 1971 issue of Outdoor Arizona magazine, which was only 50 cents at the time, Bob called it the blue-green wonder. If you like water, Havasu is for you. The lake is a unique combination of progress, isolation, sun, sand, fishing, sailing, boating, and just plain enjoyment that's hard to match anywhere else.
This is a year I'd want to go.
It's on the westernmost edge of Arizona along the Colorado River, north of Parker, south of Bullhead, and sits at the base of the Mojave Mountains. Unless you just like rock climbing in a four-wheel drive, State Route 95 is the only way in or out coming north or south. All its known inhabitants, there is an incredible resource we found this week called the Arizona Room at the Barton Barr Center Library.
That's where you did your research?
We did, and we had a blast. We found this really neat book called Glyphs and Quarries of the Lower Colorado River. It's compiled by Joseph Izu and Jeffrey Alsuch. One of them is a native of Tucson, and they documented five research sites along the Colorado River from about Bullhead down to Yuma, including Palo Verde Point. The majority of the Petroglyphs located on the eastern face, the boulder, and includes several anthropomorphic figures, all kinds of stick figures, circle heads, at least one zoomorphic quadrupletu is evidence as well. Most of the Petroglyphs are geometric or abstract in nature, consisting of series of wave lines, circles, X's, plane circles, parallel lines, and less easy described Moffats. In other words... It's really hard to scratch a 90-degree angle into a rock.
Well, do you get there by jeep, foot? You don't know? Okay. But if you're in that part of the area, it'd be worth looking into, huh?
This is a 2,000-page book. I haven't gotten that far
yet. Oh, okay.
A lot of these geographical sites aren't open to the public or are published otherwise for preservation.
Oh, got it.
So we've got a special guest on the line. I've been trying to get him for a couple of weeks. In fact, I've got, you wouldn't believe the stack of articles I've been saving for Mr. Doug Nintzel of ADOT to talk about all the things going on Arizona highways. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Romy. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir? You know, I don't think I've seen you in person since a Saturday morning when KTAR was still on Central and you still worked here.
Yeah, I've aged gracefully. Since then.
Well, you sound
Jennifer,
just the
how
same.
Are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
You bet. I wanted to say hi as well, but
I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you having ADOT on so we can talk to folks about a few of the things that are going on. It's a busy time for the agency and just a lot of things going on.
And y'all were very nice to not disrupt a lot of the highways with construction during Memorial Weekend, but you've tripled up on us this weekend, and we'll get to some of those closures. But a couple questions.
You're going to put me to the test. Huh?
Just a couple bigger picture questions that I've always wondered. How many miles of roads is ADOT responsible for?
Well, it's around the state. The number is approximately 6,800 miles, center line miles of state highways around Arizona. So we're getting closer to 7,000 as we move through the years. But the last time I checked, we were at about 6,800 miles. So you can just imagine, yes, we are a big state. And ADOT's responsibility in all of this is that we both build and maintain the state highway system here in the state. We're not responsible for the local roads, although a lot of folks like to ask us questions about that. But we're responsible for the state highway system here, and that would include the Phoenix area freeways.
Now, what does it cost? And I know location has a big factor to this, but just out of curiosity, 1 mile of freeway, what does that cost to construct?
Yeah, it's a lot. And it used to be, you know, when I first started out at ADOT more than 20 years ago, we would be able to tell folks it was about $30 million per mile. That cost has gone up, but and I don't know a precise number in terms of average, because we don't have a lot of projects where we're building a brand new freeway. So the South Mountain Freeway is an example, but that's sort of an anomaly because of where it's being built, and that's what you were saying, the location, because the cost really varies by what the project calls for. And the example being the South Mountain Freeway is unusual in that we're building it all at once, 22 miles of freeway all at once. And you may remember when we were building the other freeways like the Loop 101 and the Loop 202, we would get to where we were building 3 to 4 miles at a time, project by project. But in this particular case, the South Mountain Freeway is being built as a public-private partnership project where a consortium wound up being the winning bidder. We did have a competition for that, but the winning bidder is made up of some very major players in the construction industry, the Fluor Corporation, and then they've combined forces with Ames Construction and Granite Construction. They're the major companies that are doing that design work. They are doing the building, and ultimately they're also going to be maintaining, under an agreement with ADOT, the South Mountain Freeway portion of our system. So I know your answer was, what are you average? But it really depends on what is being built, how many bridge structures are being built as part of the project, how many interchanges are part of a project, and what are the drainage needs. Those are some of the major factors, and you know that we're building the big interchange that links I-10 with Loop 202, and yes, that's part of our weekend restriction work, and that's going to be taking place for a while, where we need either closures or major restrictions near where the interchange is being built, near 59th Avenue and I-10, but that's a major portion of the construction taking place in order to connect those two big freeways.
Which I think will be huge and will relieve a lot of the downtown traffic.
The big thing about the South Mountain Freeway is, yes, it's going to open up travel to the south of South Mountain and be an important link between the East Valley and specifically the Southeast Valley down in the Chandler area. That's where drivers are going to be getting on or exiting, of course, to I-10 on the southern part of that project. And then you go 22 miles around South Mountain and then ultimately head northbound to make that connection at 59th Avenue and I-10. That's going to open things up where drivers who don't want to travel into the downtown region near Sky Harbor Airport using the inner loop of I-10 north of downtown, they won't need to do that. They can choose to use the South Mountain Freeway as a good connection to be able to skip going into the inner city.
Which I'm really looking forward to when I travel to Tucson, because it is so unpredictable what the traffic in Phoenix is going to do. When I leave Whitman, I actually go out 85 like you're going Gila Bend, like you're going out to San Diego, and then come across back on 8, the Phoenix bypass route through Gila Bend and Casa Grande, because I know exactly how long that'll take me. You go through Phoenix, all bets are off.
Yeah, and I hope you've noticed some of the improvements to 85 itself, and we have some other projects for the future to continue to make those improvements. But we're often recommending that particular route that you mentioned, especially with the work going on I-10 right now. If someone is inbound from California, we're often mentioning that as the way to bypass the construction taking place in the Phoenix area. Take the State Route 85 south to Interstate 8, and then you can hook up again with I-10 in the Casa Grande area.
And that 8, that stretch from 85 to 10 along 8, it's a very isolated stretch of the desert, but a very pretty part of the desert. And you want to see desert in its natural state undisturbed, man, that's a great road.
Yep. We like to recommend the scenic routes. And that's one of the things that happens. You know, we, not to change the subject, but another route, and you're probably familiar with it, is that newer section of Loop 303 in the North Valley that connects from I-17. And obviously, Loop 303 now connects all the way down to I-10 in the Goodyear area. But some of those segments of Loop 303 are really now through pristine desert. And yes, I'm sure development is planned for future years. But right now, if you want to take a scenic drive, I recommend Loop 303 up there in the North Valley. And I bet a lot of the listeners haven't even driven on that freeway.
Traveling from Scottsdale to Surprise to see my mom. I use that often. I much prefer that than the stop and go all the way across Bell into into 200 and some Avenue. So it is really a beautiful drive.
I describe that as a freeway that fortunately was built ahead of the curve. And so many, you know, through the history of building freeways here in the Phoenix area, so many freeways needed to be built where development already had taken place. But in that particular case, working with the Maricopa Association of Governments, and of course MAG is our regional planning organization here in the Phoenix area, the decision was made to put Loop 303 in place and get that construction done now so that as planned development takes place, you don't have those same conflicts taking place.
And when we get back, we're going to talk about, okay, it is built ahead of its time, but it's not done either. And I drive that every day that I have to come into town, and you can see that, okay, this is a ramp or an overpass is going to be. I'm on an off ramp now. Now I'm on an on ramp. Now I'm on the main freeway. So we'll talk about why it is segmented here with Rosie on the House with Doug Dinsel of ADOT.